Well, welcome everyone to our fifth session in My In Him Realities. Before we get into this session today, I just want to tell you how much I'm looking forward to the celebration of this country's 250th birthday. What a week this is going to be. You know, this is not about a person, but it's about all of us together in this nation that we've been given by God, and that we have the privilege of really carrying forth God's work in this nation and taking it out to others. And I've mentioned a time or two before, we have people who, from even the continent of Africa, who are listening to us. And what a blessing that is to me, to think that we are being used to really propagate freedom. Really, that's what we've been talking about, the freedom we have in our Lord Jesus. And we're going to continue that today as we begin to look at a little different aspect of it, just going a little bit deeper with some of the things we began to talk about last week. Last week, we were talking about that we've been indwelled to live free. And we've seen all throughout this series how important it is to be in His presence. In fact, that was the name of the first series we really worked on. But in doing so, to begin to see our identity in Him. Last week we saw in Romans 8:2, talking right after the verse that says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." That's us. And it says in verse 2, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and of death." And how did this occur? Verse 3 tells us, "For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh," meaning our flesh is weak, "God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh," a man just like we are, "and as an offering for sin." So He sent Him in the flesh as an offering for sin, that which was our sin that condemns, really, that very nature of Adam that we have and that it was placed upon Him. And it says, He condemned sin in the flesh. Now, we ask the question, how does one law overcome another law? How does the law that of Christ Jesus, really, overcome the law, that the Mosaic law, the law that was given on jot and tittle of how to live? And what did that do? It kept us in bondage. It really held us down. And so what was the difference? Well, we use the illustration of an airplane and the law of lift overcoming the law of gravity. And what was the key element there? Power. The power. And it was the power of God raising, after He sent Jesus, allowed Him to go to the cross. He bore our sins on the cross. He died, He was buried, He was resurrected. We looked at all these different elements. And the glory of God, the power of God raised Him up. And that power was greater than any power that the law held over us. And what is that power source? Well, it originates in the Father, but it's also via the Son and certainly via Holy Spirit. We saw in Acts 13:10, it says, "God raised Him." Let me just back up, go too fast there. "But God," and that "but God" phrase is so important. There are things in my life that will happen, and BJ and I look at each other and we'll say, "but God," and that encourages us. "But God raised Him," Jesus, "from the dead." And how did He do it? "By the working of His mighty power," as Ephesians 1:19 tells us. Romans 8:11 gives us some more insight into this. In fact, it's really where we got the title for last week's session. "But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you," and we know that He does if we're born again, "He who raised Jesus from the dead," talking about the Father through the Spirit, "will also give life to our mortal bodies." And how does this happen? "Through His Spirit which indwells us." We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We saw in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17, it just says very succinctly, "But the one who joins himself to the Lord through believing becomes one spirit with Him." And so this same Holy Spirit that is the power of God takes up residence in me in union with my spirit. In Romans 8, We're told in the fourth verse, the last part of it, to walk according to the Spirit, not the flesh. In other words, to focus on the Spirit, not the flesh. And verse 5 picked up and tells us a little more. It said, for those who are according to the flesh set their minds or look toward things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Then verse 6 said, for the mind set on the flesh is death. But that's not what we're going to look at, are we? It goes on and says, but the mind set on the Spirit is both life and peace. So where are we to live? Well, it's certainly not in the flesh, but it's with our mind set upon the Spirit of God. And when we do that, then life begins to flow. That Spirit life begins to flow from the Spirit, from our spirit inside us, where it indwells us, and just permeates our being and empowers us. But this is a choice we each have to make. And really, it's the first step, I think, to a level of maturity that we all hope to obtain to. In fact, verse 14 of this same chapter says, those that are led of the Spirit are the sons of God, or are the mature ones of God. Now, today, I want to begin building on this setting our mind. And what the Lord gave me for a title today is setting your mind to put on Jesus. We're going to set our mind so that we can put on Jesus. And I want to begin where we ended last week in Romans 7:21, which asks the question, who shall set me free from this body of death? And what did we see? It was the man Jesus, who dwells in me in the form of the Spirit. It is He who sets me free. Now, this is already something that has been accomplished. But if I'm not living free, what do I need to do? And that's really where we're going to jump forward today. And it begins by what? Setting our mind on Him. Now, as we start today, I want to say here right at the beginning, don't start any naysaying. Don't begin to say, I can't do this, or I don't know how, or what if I can't. I want you to remember that with every command we've been given comes an enablement, a power working in us to do it. In fact, I'll be so bold as to say that it's really not anything we can do by works, but it's through the Spirit we change. We are changed. Our mind is renewed. Our thinking patterns are renewed, and that's what we're going to build on today. And it's all happened because there is a power at work, the Holy Spirit, in you, and He will bring about changes as we set our mind on the Lord, and then we'll begin to see as we put on the very nature of Jesus. So let's start today's session with Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. And it says, if you have been raised up with Christ, so let's just pause there. Yes, we know we've been raised up. Ephesians 2, verses 5 and 6. We've been made alive, raised up, and seated at the right hand of the Father with Christ. So if we've been raised up with Christ, it tells us to keep seeking, and this is New American Standard, keep seeking the things above. In other words, the things of the Spirit, the things of the heavenlies, not this earth. And we do that because that is where Christ is seated, at the right hand of the Father. And then here comes verse 2 again. Set your mind on the things above, not on things that are on the earth. Now, that's a straight-out command. And so we know then, if this is a command, there's that power that's going to work in us to bring this about in us. So keep seeking the things above. That's an interesting phrase, and we'll look at that word in just a moment. But first, let me read to you the New King James, because it uses a little different phrase. In fact, I'll just read the last part about how we set our mind on things above, what that means. It really tells us to set our affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Now, I like the term affection, because those things that we care about, those things that are important to us, we want to make sure that the things that are most important to us are the things of the Spirit. We're not going to do that at the expense of family or loved ones, because love is the first fruit of the Spirit, as we'll go over again today. But it all flows from this love. And so we're to love more the things of the Spirit, the things that we're going to share together throughout eternity. And I praise God that all of my children and grandchildren and spouses of my sons are all born again. And we get to do this together throughout eternity. But let's look at these two words, or these two phrases. Keep seeking, in other words, seek the things above, and also set our mind on, or set our affection to. The first word there, seek, is the Greek word zeteo. It's Z-E-T-E-O. And it means to earnestly seek, not casual, or not a casual looking for. Like when they were told to look at the serpent raised on the bronze pole, the bronze serpent on the pole. They were told to look at it. And that was an intense looking at what happened. They were healed. So really, what this is saying is earnestly seek. Just much, much more than a glance. No casualness about it. It literally means to pursue with such intensity that your whole effort forward is searching for it. In other words, it's one of the principal things. You've all heard the phrase, keep the main thing as the main thing. And this is one that is to be fundamental in our walk with the Lord, is in looking at things from His perspective, where what? Where we see all things are made new. Another word that might be good here, one that you might have a little more understanding of, is diligence. Be diligent in seeking it. Something that it just becomes a lifestyle for us. And then in verse 2, set your mind on things above, or set your affection. This phrase literally means to fix your thoughts, to focus on, to deliberately think about. But it has an indication with it. It indicates that there is a choice that we must make, that we must commit to do this. So set our mind on things above. Now, that reminds me of another verse, a very important verse, which many will say is one of our favorite verses in the Bible, in Isaiah 26, verse 3. And that verse, you will remember, says, and there's three elements to it. We often overlook the third one. It says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Doesn't that sound like whose affection is set on thee? In other words, we're looking to the Father. But then there's this last phrase there that says, because he trusts in you. Now that tells me that this is an act of faith. There are going to be times when we don't feel it, when we don't look around and things may not be that way. But we don't change where we're looking because we trust the Lord. And I think that the way this is written, you'll keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. And then the phrase, because he trusts in you. I believe it's really talking about to keep our mind stayed on him requires that trusting. And when we keep our mind stayed on him because of the trust, that's when his peace begins to operate and take control in our inner man. So it's something we do by faith, by leaning on Him, by trusting, having that confidence in. The Amplified Version says this, you will guard and keep him in perfect peace, in perfect and constant peace, whose mind, and then it defines what it's talking about, its inclination and its character. So we're not just talking about something we can do. I'm going to keep my mind, I'm going to keep my mind, I'm going to keep my mind. We do it as the character of God begins to work in us and we can keep our mind on Him. Then it rounds up saying, because He commits Himself to you. That's that trust. He leans on you and hopes confidently in you. So we've got several witnesses of set your mind, set your affection, and keep seeking that. Now I want to shift over to talk about the phrase put on. And again, I go back to our title here today, setting your mind to put on Jesus. This is something you have to do. You have to set your mind in order to put on Jesus. Let's look in Ephesians 4, and we're going to start in verse 21. Verse 21 says, "Indeed, you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is Jesus." In other words, we've heard the word taught about Jesus. We've taken that word in, we've believed it, and that word is truth. 22 continues on then and says that in reference to your former manner of life, talking about our old man who is now dead, but he does what? He tries to exert the influence he has that is residual on our mind. He says, lay aside the old self. It doesn't say pray to God to take it away. It says we have to lay that aside. Now, there are a lot of things in life that we try to lay aside, but it doesn't seem to work. And I think that's because it's a twofold act. We have to replace what we lay aside with something that has more power. So look at it this way. You lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceits, the way we think, and that you be renewed. So here's the replacement coming. In the spirit of your mind. Now the word spirit there is not referring to Holy Spirit. It is a lowercase. The better framing of it would be the attitude, the mental attitude, the way you think of your mind. So that's what we have to renew. And Romans 12, 1 and 2 talks about that as well. And then we get to verse 24. As we begin to see the way we think about ourselves and who we are in Christ Jesus, that mental attitude, that esprit de corps, really, that we have with Jesus, it says that now we are to also put on the new self, put on this new creation that you've become. And this is important. Which in the likeness of God. So this new self that we have become, that we're putting on, is God's likeness. And it was created in us, it says, in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So three things there. Put on the new self. And that new self is what? The likeness of God, in the likeness of God. And it was created when we were born again, and made righteous and holy, as we saw in our previous series, in truth. Now, the Greek word here is really interesting in put on. Put on here, the word is enduo, E-N-D-U-O, and it literally means to sink into clothing. Now, if I were standing, I would grab a coat and just kind of put it over me and slide an arm through and just wrap that coat around me. That's the image that this word really has. To sink into clothing, to clothe oneself. And so now we can ask, with what? With the Holy Spirit. So that's where we're sinking into. He in me and I in him. You know, for me, I get the image that as I'm in him, and he and me, I focus on the in him as much as anything, because it's like he becomes an envelope to hide, to guard, to protect me. And where is this initiated now? It doesn't start with our thinking. It doesn't have anything to do with works. It starts in the spirit. It's initiated in my spirit and flows from that spirit. The Amplified Version for 24 reads in this manner. Put on the new nature, that is the regenerate self, that new image, created in God's image. Now, that's a phrase we need to meditate. Created in God's image. God's image in me, that I can have dominate me, that I can have lead and guide me. So created in God's image, and then it gives us a parenthetical comment, Godlike. Well, isn't that what a son becomes? And it's in true righteousness and holiness. Now, where we get into trouble in this is when we say, well, I don't feel that way. Things just don't seem to be happening. And we begin to question. That's really where the trouble begins. But what did we see earlier? That this perfect peace that we can walk in, which is a fruit of the Spirit, we'll get to that momentarily, is what? It comes while we trust, lean on, and have faith in the Lord Jesus. Romans 13:14 is another put on verse. And I want you to see it's not just a one and done verse that becomes a theology for somebody. You're going to see three or four of them. But Romans 13:14 tells us to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's really plain. Put on the nature, the characteristic of this new being that we've become, who is what? Who is in the image of Christ. And then it says, and make no provision for the flesh in regards to its lust. Now, I would think about that and say, don't give in any way to the flesh, but just put on Christ, block the flesh out. But I want you to see that this word provision, everything that happens to us, it begins with that is not of God, will begin with a thought. I mean, it's the devil will place thoughts. Many of us have trained ourselves well enough to have thoughts that we should not have. But as we put on Christ in a more full manner, then those thoughts will not come. And that word provision means, it's two words, before thoughts. So don't put anything thought-wise before thoughts of who we are in Jesus in this new creation. Another put on is in Ephesians 6:11. And this is talking about, in the following verses, the armor of God. And I want to just spend a moment here because I think there's a couple of key elements that are important for us here. And maybe a little different from the ways we've looked at it in the past. So it says in 6:11 of Ephesians, put on the full armor of God. In other words, don't pick your favorite piece. Put on the whole thing, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. And what are his schemes? What are the wiles? Well, he uses our thoughts to try to trick us and lie to us and make us feel condemned. So again, this armor, spiritual armor, will empower us so that we can not yield and keep our mind set on him. Now, the put on the armor here, how might we go about this? What would you do? Well, let me ask this question. How is anything in the kingdom of God produced? It's by the Spirit, and so you know it's going to be a spiritual nature. It's going to be in the spirit realm. And I would say to you, it's by seed time and harvest, and that shall never end. In the spirit realm, what is the seed? It's the Word of God. And what is sowing the seed? It's when the Word is sown. And how do we sow the Word? By speaking God's Word, by making declarations. And when I say the phrase making declarations, we need to remind ourselves, as we've seen probably a couple of months ago, as we talked about ruling and reigning, how do kings rule? Well, if we are reigning in life and we're made in His image, then we need to be speaking His words. That's how He created, by His words, and so we need to be speaking His words. Now, think about this in context of putting on. We are declaring over ourselves what He says is ours. What we are putting on, as we put it on, we are declaring and driving out those thoughts that are contrary to the fruit of the Spirit. Now, let me just read you quickly verses 11 through 15 or 16 into 16. And then I want to propose something to you. So put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, so we're not fighting people. We're not going to fight our flesh with the flesh. We're going to fight a spiritual battle. Take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And in addition to all, take up the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. Now, I wanted to read those to you because these different pieces of armor are important. We know that righteousness will guard our heart, the breastplate. But oftentimes, we begin to think more about the helmet or the physical breastplate than we do the element that is associated with the real power, which is the spiritual part of it. So what I've done is I've taken out the words that describe the armor, and I want you to see this from a purely spiritual perspective. Listen to it as I read. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, with truth, having righteousness, and the gospel of peace, and above all, faith, wherewith you are able to quench all the wicked, and take salvation, the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication. So can you see how this elements of focusing on the Spirit will build strength in our confidence, not in something that we envision as physical, but it's the spiritual force behind it. Righteousness becomes the force, not just the breastplate. And I think that's so important as we are putting on our Lord Jesus Christ. And so one more final put on, Colossians 3:12. And so those who have been chosen of God, that is us, holy and beloved, that is you, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Now this phrase just really hits me because it starts on, put on a heart of compassion. That force which propelled Jesus to be able to do all he did. It's simply saying, that love that he had for us, that's what we're putting on first. Now we'll talk about the fruit of the Spirit next, but put on that love of Jesus. And to put it on, you've got to receive it. You must, in fact, receive it before you can give out that same type of love. So that's part of what we're putting on. We must see ourselves as the beloved so that we can show others how the beloved one loves them just like he does us. Now, the first one there I read was love, and then it went into others that are there, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. So let's look at Galatians 5 and read 16, and we'll skip some verses as we go down through 25. But I say, walk by the Spirit, put on the Spirit, essentially, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh because you've got righteousness. You've got salvation. You've got that armor, those elements of the spiritual forces that are at work in you, propelling you and protecting you and giving you attack tools like prayer and declaring the word of the Lord. So walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the verse 17 then says, for the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit. So our flesh is going to fight us. And then it says, and the Spirit against the flesh. So the Spirit dwelling in you has set itself against the flesh. I want you to get this picture. It's that we don't have to do it all ourselves. As we do and operate in the Spirit realm, the Spirit is going to bring these changes about in us. It goes on and says concerning the Spirit and the flesh that they're in opposition in one another. And when we yield to it, what do we know? We do those things that we don't want to do, and we don't do what we do want to do. And then verse 18 says, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, what is the result then if we're being led by the Spirit and we're not under the law? There's no condemnation. None. Now, this section of Scripture goes on in verse 19 through 21, and it enumerates elements of our flesh that will try to wage war against us. I'm not going to give glory to them today. We're not going to read them. Go down to 22. To verse 22, it states, but the fruit of the Spirit. So those were others. The other ones are fruit of the flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit, this is that nature that you and I are putting on. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. We read those and we say, that's what I want. But we started off by saying, put on compassion, back in Colossians 3. You know, for me, it's like the curtain rod is that rod of love. And all these other eight fruit hang from that curtain rod. In other words, everything that is about God flows to us, starting and ending with His love. And it was going to work the same way in us. So don't try to work on patience without first walking in love. You'll never be as humble as you need to be until we walk in love. 24 goes on and says, Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. That's encouraging us. We can do this. We can walk in that way and totally put this flesh down. And it concludes by saying, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. So if we've been given life through the Spirit, which we have, then we are able to walk out this life in the Spirit. So go back to what we were talking about earlier, how do things come about in the spirit realm? We declare spirit things. So we need to be describing and declaring over ourselves these fruit of the Spirit. I am, I possess, I walk in the love of God. Hope abounds in me. And just begin to confess this over yourself. And what you are doing is putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now do note that this fruit of the Spirit, that word fruit, is in a singular form. And it says to me, they're all there as one, but yet it all starts with the one, which is love. So let me conclude today, as we've gone full circle in this, with the first chapter of Big John, verse 14 through 17. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, talking about John the Baptist, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. And here's where, if you underline in your Bible, or if you're going through using the notes, do this, see this. For of His fullness we have all received. Do you see that? For of His fullness we've all received it. And grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came or were realized through our Lord Jesus Christ. That grace, that truth, is Jesus. He is the one who has set us free. And as we set our mind on Him, and then put on His nature, His characteristics, then we begin to walk in this world as He desires us to, and that really as each one of us desires to. Just meditate on these things. Let them begin to build in your heart. And we'll continue on next week as we proceed further in seeing what we have in Him.